Smitteroo, we've had a busy, another busy weekend. Gee whiz, that's just how it's going to be till Thanksgiving. We know that.
Yeah.
And the good news is we're going to need some, we have to call the folks down at Black Lumber, get some new wood for the trophy cabinet down there on the Southsiders as Kevin Sparks is South Panthers, our conference Indiana champions. They're in the spotlight to get us started here on a Monday morning.
Well, we had two conference tournament titles to play for and two champions to spotlight coming out of Week 7 for the fellows of Kevin Sparks, Bloomington South, 2016 Conference Indiana Champs, Carl Zaltzman's Edgewood Mustangs, 2016 WIC Kings. Well done, fellas. The 10th-ranked Panthers beat Perry Meridian 4-3 and Columbus North 1-0 for the title. Nathan Plitzky with five saves. Ben Yeagley, the second half goal against Columbus North to move ahead to 14-1 on the air with the sectional to defend starting next week. Earlier, the Panthers beat and held off Perry Meridian 4-3 behind a two-goal effort from John Bannock. Plitzky had five saves in that one. South will play again tonight, wrapping up the year at Columbus East. By the way, Sean Marler's North Cougs wound up fourth overall in Conference Indiana, losing to Columbus North 2-0, Perry Meridian 4-2. The red and black of Carl Zaltzman on top of the Western Indiana Conference is Kings, avenging a regular season loss to Greencastle, beating the Tiger Cubs 4-1 on Mustang grass over the weekend. Harrison Cottingham knocked two home. Ethan Verkrumba was credited with seven saves. Edgewood will get together with Lighthouse Christian Academy tonight at 5 o'clock. The Edgewood girls won the fifth-place game against Greencastle 3-2. Carly Bennett had the game winner. Edgewood will be in action tonight against V&L at 5:30. Ian Rickerby's South girls finished third with a 1-0 win over Franklin Central after Columbus North beat the Panthers 3-0 in Saturday's semifinal in Terre Haute. Panthers getting the game winner, though, from Bailey Silvers in the Franklin Central game. South now 10-4-2 on the year. The North girls wound up 6th, losing to Terre Haute South 3-1 after beating Perry Meridian 4-0 for its second win of the season. Four different Cougars with goals in that one for Cassie Soller. And the two city schools drew each other in next week's sectional to be hosted by Edgewood. Out on the gridiron, fives were wild for the 4th-ranked South Panthers of Coach Moe. We'll make it now a 5-game winning streak for the purple and white. 5 touchdowns for junior running back Christian Paycheck, who, by the way, wears jersey number 5. He also had 170 yards. The South put another 49 spot on the board. That's back-to-back 49-point outburst offensively. They beat Terre Haute South 49-24 and now off to Terre Haute North Friday night. 4-0 in the league, still deadlocked with number 5, 6A Columbus North at the top of Conference Indiana. North will debut its new scoreboard at the northeast end of Martin Memorial Friday night, hosting Franklin Central, but the Cougars still winless. No touchdowns in their last game, a lone safety and a 33-2 thumping at the hands of Perry Meridian on the road Friday night. 7 turnovers, certainly not lucky by any stretch of the imagination for Edgewood, losing its homecoming to Indian Creek 56-13. Ian Coldren, though, is back, 132 yards and a touchdown, so that is good news. So, too, is Friday night's opponent, Brown County, only a one-time winner, as the Mustangs travel over to Nashville for the annual Hoof and Talon Trophy game, which lies in the possession of the Mustangs, who blanked BC 12-0 last year. Edgewood, like North, though, still searching for that elusive first win of the year on the gridiron. Golf ended locally in Saturday's regional down in Montgomery. North finished 18th in the 18-team field, but went out scoring a season-best 352. Team medalist Kalina Abraham with an 80. Lawrence Stallsmith checked out with a career-best 85. So, too, Courtney Grimes, who matched her career-best of 85. South finished 15th in the regional. Team medalist Bessie Beggs with a 97. Edgewood's Megan Higgins denied a state berth after a season-closing 81 over the Country Oaks layout. Volleyball on the hardwood. Disney Brandenburg's North Cougs finished 2nd to Franklin Central at the Martinsville Invite, but won 2 to push the win total to 15 on the year. Jade Vasquez with 79 assists in those three games. Julia Wood had 36 digs. Haley Stoltz with 33 kills. The Lady Lions of Lighthouse Christian won its own invitational, beating Indianapolis Southside for the title, pushing its record this fall to 11-7. Grace Holdeman had 27 kills, 11 aces. Jessica Fix with 53 assists on the day. Also Katie Engel and Amelia Weiser with outstanding efforts for LCA. Ken Heidinger's 10th-ranked North Tennis Cougs finally lost a set at two doubles, a three-setter, by the way, but they closed out number 22 Clarksville Providence 4-1 and ended the regular season 14-1. Providence did beat South 4-1 as Matt Corey's Panthers ended the regular season 7-7. The Panthers will host the sectional starting on Wednesday. We'll have the draw for that later today. North, of course, the defending champion. Edgewood will also be in that sectional field. Justin Helmer's 10th-ranked North girls finished third at the Culver Invitational. Alexa Gebhardt led North, placing 19th. The Cougars raced again without Grace Saccone, who was in the soccer squad in that Conference Indiana tournament. Elsewhere, Charlie Wharton's fellas, the Maroon and Gold, finished 10th in that tournament. Drew Warren was 20th overall. And at the New Haven Invite, Samantha Ginther's girls, 4th. Larry Winter's fellas were 6th. Todora Galuska and Madison McMullen, 6th and 7th, respectively, with career best times of 1840 and 1842. The Panther fellas were paced by Jake Wisniewski's 15th place finish there. And down in the Bedford, Ted Fox Invite, Edgewood's Austin Haskett was 3rd overall. The boys were 8th. The girls finished 5th. Kaylee Meyer was 19th overall for Micah Mobley's Red and Black. LCA, Lighthouse Christian, led by Hannah Chapman and Sydney Snyder, running 32nd and 33rd, although no team score kept for the girls, who ran with just 4 runners. The Lion fellas, though, were paced by the 14th place finish by Eric Larson. He was 22nd overall for the Lighthouse Christian Academy boys. In the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6 in the red zone. Week 2, 7 o'clock ahead of tonight's Monday night matchup, the Falcons and the Saints, right here on the airwaves, kickoff along about 8:30.
There's a busy weekend all wrapped up, Smitteroo. McIlroy wins the $10 million bonus as he won the Tour Championship yesterday. Colts victorious late, Andrew Luck's 15th career fourth quarter or overtime comeback victory. The Colts avoid an 0-3 start. Big day in college football yesterday. Les Miles and Cam Cameron both fired at LSU. Brian Kelly fires his defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. Gee whiz, look out. And sad news, Arnold Palmer, the King, passing away at the age of 87.
The old ambassador. He'll never be forgotten.
Well, no, impossible to do so, and that's what makes him special. We'll talk more coming up at 8:45, what the Hoosiers need to do with Big Bad Michigan State coming to town. We'll review their weekend. And maybe Ben Yeagley, but we could maybe sneak him into an IU shirt for his dad. Poke a couple in for my boys there.
Ben's got 9 on the air.
She's in about 8 of them in the last 15 days, too. So they unleashed the hounds there. So we'll get that covered coming back at 8:45.
We'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe Smith, 7:45, 8:45 on a Monday morning. Joe Smith time at 8:45 here on a Monday morning, live in the studio. Somebody say hello to Margaret Fetty.
Oh, Margaret, how you doing on a rainy Monday?
I'll tell you what, the morning went by as fast as this month has gone by.
Final Monday of September, aren't we? Yeah.
Getting a little reprieve out there right now as we see people with no
What is the current temperature?
It's a 59 downtown, so very seasonable, but not cold at all. So we'll see. So hopefully the rain. We'll probably see another round of rain, and then hopefully it's gone. But tomorrow's going to be gorgeous.
Windbreaker as I step out.
You know what? I didn't need a windbreaker on that brand new turf at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, Joe. 3:30 in the afternoon. My goodness.
Those band members. Wow.
Oh my! They've got new uniforms that hopefully aren't made of wool, like the last ones. But sitting up there with the band for one of my deals was cooler than being on that turf that just bounced off the heat. Oh, my goodness.
Well, how warm was it down there? You were down there all day.
Oh, it had to be 100 degrees.
Yeah.
At least. Well, it was 89 on my phone, so it had to be. It's 10 degrees hotter on the turf. Yeah, I would say 100 easy.
Oh, my.
So it was baking. And, if I would have brought some bacon, I'd have been the most popular guy down there. The Hoosiers, Joe, dug themselves a hole. We saw some things we haven't seen yet this season, but it's only three games into Richard Lego's career. I'm not closing the book on it yet. These are games you scheduled to win, but Wake Forest gets to practice and play two. Tough loss for the Hoosiers on Saturday.
Well, you know, I hate to begin to add up off days I've had in my career through the decades, but it's all about how everyone kind of responds to things. And for quarterback Richard Lego, who had good and not so good Saturday in that loss to Wake Forest, that's his intention this week in practice as he readies now to play his first ever Big Ten game on Saturday night. You know, interceptions aside, I'm looking at the five penalties in the fourth quarter costing the Hoosiers 49 total yards during a winnable game at the time, trailing only 27-21, but four key penalties accounted for a huge chunk in Wake's 12-play, 75-yard scoring drive that put them ahead to stay and snapped Indiana's eight-game string of non-conference victories. Indiana winding up with 84 yards and nine flags on Saturday. Five interceptions, yeah, but only five of 14 third down conversions. We talked about this on Friday, and that's got to get better. And certainly those two elements, not a prescription for success, and it certainly wasn't on Saturday afternoon against the Demon Deacons, who came in here as underdogs. But that being said, played an errorless game and really did some great things taking the runaway, especially in the first half when Indiana had only a scant number of yards. But Michigan State was shocked at home by Wisconsin. They, too, victim of turnovers, four of them, gave the Badgers 13 points in that 30-6 win. So we play for the old brass platoon. It's been the property of the Spartans since 06. Available, though, for IU as they'll work to respond. They've lost the last seven to Sparty, including the last five in a row. Primetime, 8 o'clock Saturday night on the Big Ten Network. Michigan State dropping with that loss from 8th nationally down to 17th, coming to Bloomington off a loss as well. Well, it was the biggest offensive output in a regular season conference game in 3 years for Amy Burberry's Soccer Queens. The Hoosiers got scores from three different players Sunday as they beat Wisconsin 3-2 out on the Yegley pitch at Armstrong. Indiana now 2-2 in the Big Ten, 5-6-1 overall. Sophomore Cassidy Blocka had the game winner in the 78th minute. It was a good win for the women, too, after getting blanked on Friday night by number 9 Minnesota 3-0. Well, the fourth-ranked soccer Hoosiers of Coach Todd still unbeaten through 9. For the first time in 19 years, but the question mark will put behind where's the goals? None at Rutgers in that scoreless draw at Rutgers on Friday night, which leaves Indiana 5-0-4, 1-0-3 in the Big Ten. Goalie Colin Webb, certainly not his fault. He's just been this short of outstanding. His Big Ten leading sixth shutout of the year. He was credited with five saves out at Rutgers, the four straight shutouts, the longest such streak now in 9 years. The Hoosiers need, though, to crease the nets, and they'll have to. They got a big, high-profile game Wednesday night out on the pitch at Armstrong Stadium as 10th-ranked Butler comes calling. Well, goal scoring, certainly no problem for national scoring leader, senior Kate Barber. For Amanda Chaney's field hockey Hoosiers, she put two more in the net Sunday up in Central Michigan in a 6-1 win, completing a 2-0 weekend for the IU women with the sticks. They beat Rutgers 3-2 Friday night for its first Big Ten win. Barber now leading the nation with 15 total goals and counting. Maddie Latino is getting involved offensively. She's been leading Indiana in the assist column. She had one, but also scored twice against Central Michigan on Sunday. Well, like turnovers in football and penalties, 19 attack errors and 14 service errors, ruined any chance Indiana volleyballers had at beating 10th-ranked Purdue on the volleyball court at Mackey Arena Saturday night. Indiana was swept in three as PU retained the Monon spike and extended its win streak to 8 straight over Sherry Dunbar's Crusans Hoosiers. Indiana, that's not getting any easier. We know how tough the Big Ten is. They'll be hosting number 2-ranked Minnesota Friday and 3rd-ranked Wisconsin on Saturday over at UChem. Clint Wallman's women's golfers finished third at the Mary Fossum Invitational, playing up in East Lansing over the weekend. Alex Kong and Anna San Juan finished with T7s on the leaderboard. Both women were six over for the 54-hole tournament. Miami of Florida won it, but Indiana was just two shots out from second place. Princeton beat them by two to finish there. The Wyndham Memorial continues at the North Shore Country Club, weather permitting, later today, just outside of Chicago, where Mike Mayer's crew, as his fellas, Keegan Bea, is currently 22nd overall and is two over par. They had a lightning delay yesterday afternoon, and they'll try to finish up some of the guys on the course today and get rolling at the Wyndham Memorial there in golf for the Hoosiers. In the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls tonight at 6, and then in the red zone, week number 2 edition, Falcons. We'll see if Devin Coleman can find the end zone down in New Orleans tonight against the Saints. Kickoff for the Monday night game at 8:30.
And a busy weekend, Joe. Colts with a good win there. Needed it desperately. Teams that are 0-3, only three have made the playoffs since 1990.
I didn't think they were going to get it, but they dug down deep.
Andrew Luck just got enough protection.
And
T.Y. Hilton made just one more guy miss. Yeah. 8 balls for 170-something and a touchdown. None better than that. That led the Colts to a 4-point victory. Defense making a play down the stretch as well. Clayton Gethers, who is back in the lineup, getting a big strip there. Mike Adams with the recovery to put out the last San Diego Charger lightning bolt. Colts already saw Detroit do that to him once, Joe. So the Colts 1-2 heading to London. Are we going to carry that game on Sunday?
Well, we got it a 9:30
kickoff.
Pregame start.
No, that's kick time, so that's going to be 8:30 pregame.
It's 8:30 then, huh?
Yep. We'll see who's on the Colts radio network and who they take over there. So we'll get that updated as the week continues. And then the Colts are home the following week for the Bears. So Jacksonville losers again yesterday. They're 0-4 on the season. Bears did not look very good on Sunday Night Football last night. Colts could get this to 3-2, Joe, and start churning in the right direction.
Well, they're going to have to now and, get back and, Houston, losing their 2-1. So everybody's lost in the South Division. So Jacksonville, as you say, struggling to score. They've only had 54 points in three games.
Rory McIlroy won $11.53 million in a three-way playoff yesterday. Dustin Johnson would have won the $10 million bonus if McIlroy had not have won the golf tournament. That's how the FedEx Cup shook itself out. It was great drama, Joe, if you weren't into the golf per se, to have a three-way playoff with so many different things that could happen coming down the stretch. McIlroy had a hole out from the fairway and birdie, and birdie one of the last two holes he did to get into a playoff. It was pretty good drama. Then four holes in the playoff before McIlroy hit a 15-foot putt to win.
Well, and he did both of those on 16 when he eagled there in regulation and comes right back and puts the birdie in the hole on 16 in the playoff he had with Moore. So,
great theater. It was great theater for the neutrals.
And kiss those greens.
That's exactly right, and he's pretty good at that whole golf thing too. Bloody day in college football yesterday. Cameron and Les Miles both out at LSU. Ed Ogeregon takes over there after LSU couldn't beat Auburn on Saturday night. FIU, Indiana's first opponent of the year. Ron Turner is out as their head coach. They fell to 0-4 on the season. And also Brian Van Gorder for you Notre Dame fans. You know how many points they've given up every week. It's 38, 40, 40. 50, whatever it is. They're going to try to change that at Notre Dame, so we'll see what
Greg
happens.
Greg Hudson, I see, was named the new DC up in the Bend.
Yeah.
So.
He was with the Boilers for a few years, Joe. We remember how many bowl games they didn't go to, so let's wish continued success there. good job, as always. I think we've got it all covered here on a Monday. It's a little cloudy, a little foggy, but we're going to make it.
That was a lot. You guys did good.
Give us the shoehorn. We'll wedge it.
Yeah, really.
We'll find a way.
We will find a way. All right. We will get caught up with you. We'll hear your reports tomorrow morning and see Yogi's on Tuesday night.
Yeah, Fred Glass, part of the show, behind the scenes, coming in for his monthly visit ahead of the Big Ten opener. That's a big primetime game. See if the Hoosiers, as I say, that's the key word, respond to some of the shortcomings that got them beat the other day. But, it's a new season again, and, we'll see if we can grab that old brass platoon. I haven't seen it for a while.
We'll see you on Tuesday night, my friend.
All righty, my friend. Have a good week, Margaret.
You too, Joe.
Joe Smith, 7:45 and 8:45 on Monday mornings.